10 out of 10, would recommend.
There's chaos on this podcast today.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern Podcast. Bayern Munich cut it close, but were able to overcome Werder Bremen 1-0 on Saturday. But they'll have to be able to do it again on Wednesday if they want to advance to the DFB Pokal final. We're here to talk about those two games, along with a bit more news from this past week. I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm joined by my friends Garrett Kerber.
Still in first place, still in track for a double. Let's go.
Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And of course, Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
Well, like Garrett pointed out, we are still, Bayern Munich are still on track for the double. They're still first place in the Bundesliga. They made it a lot more difficult on themselves this past weekend than it probably should have, but they eventually emerged 1-0 winners thanks to a Niklas Süle. That's right, you heard that. Niklas Süle, long-range strike from outside the box. Maybe a bit lucky, but we'll take it, because anything that goes past Yuri Pavlinka when he's playing on the level that he was the other day, you got to take what you can get. Niko Kovac used the same starting lineup. We talked about that last time, whether or not we'd see some variation there, other than the obvious replacements of Boateng for Hummels, Ulrich for Neuer. But those guys, they really kind of struggled to get the job done. Do you think that's down to the two players that were missing, Garrett? Or do you think maybe, I don't know, there's just something else going on with the team there?
Seemed like they were about due for another one of those frustrating matches. You know, they drew with Freiburg, and then they had the interesting Pokal match against Heidenheim. And then, you know, you come out and you smash Dortmund, and then you smash Dusseldorf. And then it's like, well, now it's about time that we have another little letdown. And I think that Bayern just pretty much, they got in their own way. It was, I mean, you look at the statistics and it's like 28 shots and, to three for Bremen, and Bremen wasn't doing anything in particular to make it too terribly difficult on Bayern. Bayern just could not seem to convert any chances that they had. 14 shots off target, and only seven shots were blocked. I mean, only seven shots were blocked, but I mean, you're still looking at a match that was a lot closer than it should have been, based on just looking at the statistics. Now, you know, I guess the way that I look at it is Bremen were in good form, and Bayern have been kind of, I mean, they've been up and down, and this is a down week, and to still come out with a win on a down week and still keep that slim lead over Dortmund. I mean, it's ugly, but we'll definitely take it. It's a good win.
Last week, Tim, me and you were talking about this kind of chart, this table that you've made, talking about Bayern wasting chances all throughout the season. So that's not really anything new. So it's not really a surprise that we saw it this weekend. But we should have included that in the episode, because it almost, you know, you kind of seemed like a prophet predicting that for Saturday's game. But how can this issue be fixed? What needs to be done for Bayern to start converting the chances that they're getting?
I sadly haven't actually updated that table since last week, so I should get on to that. In my mind, the way it gets fixed is you don't have one person be the goal scorer in the team. So Lewandowski's been, this is the first season since Guardiola left that I've, you know, been behind Lewandowski as a Bayern player. I've been quite critical of him before, but the way that he's been playing has been fantastic. The problem is that there are very few other players in that squad, bar maybe Gnabry and Müller, who, you know, when they get the ball, this could be a goal-scoring opportunity for them. Granted, Koeman scored twice last week. I guess Koeman's kind of like taken over that mantle of, okay, which Bayern forward am I going to criticise this season? But he got two last week, but I'd say those aren't really I don't know how much credit he can really take for those goals, which sounds such a backwards thing to say. But, you know, his first goal was largely from Muller's great movement. His second was more or less just a tap in. I think Bayern need to invest next season, or this coming season, in somebody else that's going to get goals. Because if you have just one person that's getting them, fantastic. But what if he's having a bad day, like he was the other day? All of a sudden, it just means that your goal has to come from somewhere completely different, like the complete opposite end of the pitch.
One name we haven't talked about a whole lot this season, mostly because he hasn't been involved a whole lot this season, is Arjen Robben. And, you know, as you talk about that need for another goal scorer, that need for somebody who can take some of the pressure, I guess, off of Lewandowski, that was the first name that came to my mind, because Arjen Robben was that, though he played as a winger, a goal scorer. He was always a threat to put the ball in the back of the net whenever he had the ball. So, Sebastian, this kind of ties us in with a guy that you've been talking about a lot on the podcast, and we know that you like a lot. Do you think that the potential addition of Timo Werner next season will help take a lot of that weight off of Lewandowski?
Yeah, I guess I kind of agree with that. I've always felt like, and I think also argued for, it being better having three people as proper forwards and not the old model with two wingers and one striker. So I'm totally in favor of that, and I think having Werner would go a long way in that direction, of course. I also think we need to talk about the quality of chances here, because I think the quality of chances was mediocre to low, I guess. A few of those were what we would call Großchancen in German, I think. So I guess that I always feel like, and really that's a feeling, I cannot come up with any numbers supporting that or anything, but I always feel like maybe Kovac, whenever they have a good match, Kovac keeps telling them, okay, and next time let's try that 5% more safe. Mm-hmm. And that's what we end up with, I feel. So yeah, I think he has allowed for some risk, I guess, in terms of having the fullbacks pretty much up the pitch and whatnot, but not so much in the proper offense, not so much in what passes to try to do and where to go without the ball. I think that's kind of lacking, and that's what gets you in less opportune scoring situations, I think.
I think what's interesting is that they definitely have figured out the defensive issues that we had been so concerned about in the first half of the season, and so it's one of those things where it's like, well, now that we got that figured out, we have to have something else to complain about. But you know, like you said, I mean, 28 shots. You would hope that you get more than one goal out of that. And it wasn't, I mean, yeah, Pavlenka was awesome. He made six saves, and some of them were some really good saves, but you still would expect 28 shots to produce, you know, two or three goals. And I actually kind of wonder if they were trying to get too cute with down in the final third, because it seemed like, especially after that goal by Sula, it seemed like there was a few chances that Bayern had against, and I guess that's another thing to bring up into to the negative, is that playing against 10 men for a good portion of the second half. And but it seemed like they were trying to make one too many passes. And when I think it was Goretzka a couple times, it looked like it was like, okay, shoot it. And he tried to make a pass across the mouth of the goal, and it just never connected. And so I do wonder a little bit. It's like, well, you know, there was 28 total shots, but maybe there should have been like 30, 33. And maybe we would have, we'd still be upset. I mean, obviously you can't go 85 minutes and then all of a sudden score all your goals and just completely forget about the problems that were that happened before. But I do wonder, I just kind of, having watched that game, it just seemed like they tried to get a little too cute. They tried to make one too many passes. They tried to, you know, maybe set somebody up for a goal near the end there. And I don't know, did you guys kind of see the same thing, or am I crazy?
Yeah, the Goretzka chance that you're talking about, I remember very specifically. He could have just shot, and he tried to slide a pass across goal that didn't end up finding its target. He also tried to chip the keeper, and it was a good chip. It was just ended up going wide. I know Lewandowski had a chance to shoot, and he tried some back heel that didn't come off, and he fired a shot off the crossbar. So I kind of get what you're saying, trying to be a little too creative maybe in the final third instead of just firing a shot on goal, which kind of goes back to, you know, Arjen Robben, who would always take the shot if it's even somewhat available. So maybe we just need more players who are going to take the chance that, you know, comes their way instead of trying to make the little extra pass. And to be fair, I think we do have that in Serge Gnabry, who I would say anytime he thinks he can shoot, he's going to shoot. Unfortunately, on Saturday, that didn't always pan out. He fired a few kind of crazy, wild shots. But you brought up an interesting point about both y'all, Garrett and Sebastian, talked about Kovac maybe being a bit more conservative with his approach. And I think, you know, it's a good thing that we stopped Werder Bremen from scoring. We're the first team that they've played this season to be able to do that. So that is a positive. Of course, it was against 10 men. Do you think maybe Niko Kovac was using this match to kind of test and see how they're going to be playing on Wednesday, Tim?
Probably. But at the same time, I think he should really know exactly what to do kind of beforehand. I think going back to that conservative point with players like Gnabry, I think it's kind of obvious. If there's one thing that he could learn from Saturday's game, that he could then implement on Wednesday's game, I think, it's that obviously, yeah, we need to take better chances, but also, kind of ironically, we need to take more chances. So like you've mentioned Serge Gnabry as somebody that's going to run with the ball and take a shot. The other person in the team that comes to mind that will do that is Renato Sanchez. Whether that's a case of he knows that he's got a good shot and it's going to go in every single time he takes it, or whether it's just, I can't afford to pass it to somebody. I need to get my name seen on the score sheet. I don't know what sort of like mentality he's got. I can only imagine an incredibly diminished mentality at this point, but he is the sort of person that is going to get the ball, find space and take a shot. He's like, if it wasn't Sula that scored that long range goal, it probably would have been somebody like him. So I'd really like to see Sanchez play midweek, because I think he's the sort of person that this game showed we were missing.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask. Who would you take out in place of Sanchez? Because that's my biggest issue with trying to get him more playing time is, absolutely, I'd love to see him a little bit more. But at the same time, I can't think of a player that I would want to pull out for a significant enough amount of time to really get him the time that he was going to want.
I would take out Kingsley Coman. I would put Serge Gnabry on the left, put Müller on the right, and then have either Thiago play as a 10 or even play Renato Sanchez as the 10. You know, his passing, he gets mocked for that one pass that he made at Swansea where his teammate didn't move. And it's like, oh, he passed the advertising board. Great, what a fantastic player this is. His passing is actually quite good and his shooting is even better. If you have him in the middle and if you give him space, I think he could be a big difference maker.
I find it interesting that you still seem to consider Müller's position a 10-like position, because is that indicative of you wanting a more proper 10 again? Because I think in the last two or three matches, there really hasn't been a 10 so much. Thiago and Müller have nearly played on the same level. So,
yeah, I guess it's been more like 4-1, 4-1 at times. Because just by virtue of what Thiago does, he'll move all over the pitch. And the way that Müller and Gnabry work together, very much interchanging, like there is either a right winger or a 10 or a second striker or whoever. I think having seen glimpses of Gnabry coming on and filling in out wide, on paper, it kind of makes a bit of sense. He's very fast. He's very strong. He's quite skillful. okay, this isn't FIFA, but on paper, he could play out wide. So if it is just a matter of him filling in out wide while Muller comes in the middle or anything like that, I think he could be that player that that could help unlock, not even unlock, but just bulldoze through.
You said Gnabry there and you meant Sanchez, right? Did only I hear that?
Muller and Gnabry switch most of the time. So if we have Gnabry out on the left and Muller on the right, then Muller and Sanchez would switch over.
Yeah,
sorry.
Tim, I think I'd agree that you're on the right track as far as tactical changes for midweek, but I don't agree necessarily with who you would replace, or not who you replace, sorry, who you'd bring in. I think that Leon Goretzka is probably the name that I would push into the starting lineup if I had to bring in somebody, and I think you're exactly right that Kingsley Coman is be who I'd drop, put Gnabry on the left, Muller on the right. I just think Leon Goretzka, I do want Renato Sanchez to be successful, and I want him to be successful at Bayern, but Goretzka has already been, you know, far more successful, especially this season, and he's a very, very proven goal-scoring threat, something that we kind of lacked on Saturday, and so that's who I'd bring in. I think that not necessarily that Coman needs a rest, just it really worked over this season when we had Gnabry, Muller, and Leon Goretzka, all three playing together in front of, or along with two other midfielders behind Lewandowski. And I'd like to see that again. I think Leon Goretzka kind of deserves a chance to get back in the starting 11 after the season that he's had so far.
Really, I might even go as far as bringing somebody in for Thiago, really. I guess few people would agree there, because many people seem to be very happy with what he's doing. Not that I'm completely unhappy with what he has been doing, but I think he's, the paradigm really of what I think we're doing too much right now. We are again trying to dominate and control. I think I mentioned before, and now having thought about that even more while we were talking about and saying it out loud, I think we risk we have been risking way too much in terms of how many players go very far up the pitch in certain situations, and we have often risked much too little in terms of what kind of passes we try to do, what kind of shots we try to do, and I think there's a huge imbalance there, and I would like the team to dial back on the one kind of risk and really do more with the other kind of risk. I think that would be great.
So if you pull out Thiago, who do you put in? And how are you lining up, I guess, in midfield?
I would be fine with either Goretzka or Sanchez.
Okay. And then keep both wingers?
Gotcha. Yeah, I guess I would. I would also be fine with getting both Goretzka and Sanchez in and finding a way like that, but I think I could imagine either working out quite well.
Garrett, do you want to weigh in? What you expect or what you would hope for from the midweek game?
The only thing I kind of wonder, and I mean to kind of even tag on to the Sanchez talk, is that Quentin Tolisso is back in the squad this past week, this past match, so I wonder when they're going to start trying to work him back into the squad, whether they'll try to get him some minutes in the Pokal or if they'll wait till the weekend against a decidedly weaker opponent. So that is something to kind of take into account as well. One of the things I thought was interesting, or what's kind of fun, is to look at the heat map for Thiago. And it's just almost completely a circle around a red dot near the center of the field, and then there's this huge red dot on the corner flag, which I think is pretty funny. But I don't know. I kind of think if you're gonna make too many, or if you're gonna make a change, I wouldn't be unhappy with any of the changes that people have suggested. I kind of like the idea of working Goretzka back in. And I honestly don't really know why I'm saying this, but I kind of want to see Ribery get back into the lineup for a Pokal match, whether it's in the starting lineup to just kind of set a tone. I just think that, you know, one of the things that we were missing this past weekend was just that killer instinct. And it seems like Ribéry can bring that. He hasn't necessarily brought it. And even when he came in on Saturday, it didn't really show, but it's just, I don't know. I guess my official stance on, you know, changes to the lineup is that it's fine. Whatever. Do what you want to do, Kovac. I'm pretty happy. And I think that it was a poor match. There's really no reason to be too concerned unless if you're going to make any changes, it should be thinking forward rather than looking back on what transpired over the weekend.
Well, to kind of take a break from talking about Bayern and look at it from a Werder Bremen perspective, who or what do you see causing Bayern problems on Wednesday? Or do you think that this one should be pretty straightforward again for Bayern Munich, Tim?
I think Max Kruse is a doubt. So that's going to be a big problem for them. I don't think they can afford to play Claudio Pizarro from the very start. Everybody loves him, but you couldn't play him for 90 minutes. I'm hoping it's only going to be 90 minutes. Who is the guy that got sent off? I was watching it on a delay and I didn't know anything about the result. I didn't know who scored. I didn't know what the score was or anything like that. But he got a booking and I just knew this guy's going to get sent off very, very soon. And he did. So I don't know if there's like a discipline issue that Werder Bremen need to look at. I don't know who's going to, because obviously this guy is going to be slightly more rested than everybody else in the team, just marginally. So, but I think if they can, they've obviously clearly got some sort of defensive stability that was very reassuring for, I don't know, the best part of like 70, 75 minutes. And then obviously if this one guy goes off, that causes a problem. I think they probably should be fine because they did, like, they went to the Allianz Arena and they didn't lose convincingly. Like the team that's in second in the Bundesliga lost very heavily, and the team that beat Bayern earlier in the season 3-0, they lost very heavily. Wolfsburg lost very heavily. Werder Bremen conceded one goal, and even that was incredibly lucky. I don't think Werder Bremen have got many weaknesses going into it.
So you think it'll be a tough match for Bayern?
Again, yeah. I don't know if it's going to be Heidenheim tough, like 5-4 or like 7-8 by the end of it, but it's going to be difficult.
I mean, that's just kind of been the story of our Pokal this season, though, is making things a lot harder on ourselves than it should have been, no matter who the opponent is. So I wouldn't be too surprised.
And it'll be on the road, too, so that's another aspect to take into account. I just want to see the great American hope that is Josh Sargent play for Bremen. I think if he's playing, we're probably in good shape, though. I wouldn't mind seeing him. But I do think that they're probably going to, not that they came out and they were playing super defensively anyway, but I think that they'll probably want to open it up a little bit, being at home and being in a, you know, win or go home match. So there should be as many or similar amount of opportunities for Bayern. So I kind of am expecting Bayern to win, not easily, but I think it'll look a lot better than this Bundesliga match, personally.
Well, I don't really think we can count on Pavlenka having the same type of game that he had against Bayern. That's kind of a once a season type thing, but I do think a lot of it will hinge on Rashica for Werder Bremen. If he can get in behind the fullbacks and burn Bayern's back line, then Werder Bremen will be in good shape. But if Niklas Süle, and I would assume Jerome Boateng starting again, if they can kind of marshal him like they did over the weekend, I think Bayern are probably going to be in okay shape to get out with a, if it's a narrow win, that's fine, but hopefully with a solid, convincing win, like Garrett said.
Yeah, win's all you need.
Exactly.
Don't care how ugly it is, honestly. Just win and move on.
Well, one name that we've talked about already pretty heavily on this podcast is Renato Sanchez, and we talked a bit about his situation last time. But after the game on Saturday, he pretty much confirmed that he wants out this summer, at least on a loan, to go out, get some playing time. He's not really satisfied with what's going on at Bayern Munich. Who can blame him? And since the three of us, Sebastian and Tim, kind of discussed this last time, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but if he's to go on loan instead of us selling him over the summer, where would you recommend him go, or where would you like to see him go? Because we're not sending him to Swansea City again, anywhere but there.
I guess first I want to say that I think it's nice to hear that he obviously considers a loan a real option, because I would have thought if he's actually opening up in an interview about that, he would probably say that he's not interested in a loan anymore, or that he would say nothing and, yeah, just not comment. So that's interesting that he would bring that up. I think while that is never ideal as a fan, I think I would like him to go somewhere in the Bundesliga. Not one of the very small clubs, I guess one of the clubs with a bit of ambition and maybe, yeah, not as provincial, I guess, not as small a town, or as kind of, yeah, not very, yeah, not a very big city, not a very lively kind of environment like Swansea. But yeah, maybe something like Schalke or Bremen, or maybe Stuttgart. Something like that. Hoffenheim has worked out for us quite well a number of times. Hoffenheim would be a nice option, I guess. That would be interesting. I think that would really be the best possibility from my perspective, because it would give him an opportunity to learn more German, for one thing, and just play the kind of football we're playing. And yeah, not having too big of a change in terms of environment, I guess that would be what I prefer.
You said Hoffenheim. That's not exactly the name. I was thinking RB Leipzig. So that way, because Julian Nagelsmann is making that switch over the summer, and it worked out well with sending Gnabry there. And like you said, it's worked out other times. So I think that'd probably be, in my opinion, the best place he can go. But they may, if they're interested, then that'd be great. Of course, you have to consider that. But getting him working under Julian Nagelsmann would be. About as good as it gets, I would think.
I guess my one issue with Leipzig would be that would be tough competition. If he would go to one of the other clubs I mentioned, I think he could be reasonably confident it would be his spot in the 11 to lose with Leipzig, and I'm not quite so sure.
I think one of the clubs coming up in promotion could be a good spot for him as a club that, because you're probably looking at Köln and in Hamburg. So you'd hope that those are the type of clubs that are, at least they've been in the Bundesliga more recently, that they're probably not going straight back down. That is never a guarantee, obviously, but I think that being in a position where he can play for a club and be kind of not the main guy, but like one of the main guys, I feel like it at Leipzig, while it would be great for him to work with Nagelsmann, I don't know. I think he runs into a similar problem as he does with Bayern, where there's a lot of names that they want to play ahead of him, but I could be wrong on that as well. But I do agree. I totally agree that preferably it'd be a loan to another Bundesliga team. Don't send him away to some other country where they play. The whole thing is, or just everything about going abroad is a little bit different. He seems to have done fairly well in the Bundesliga when he's gotten opportunities. So there's no reason to send him to somewhere like England, where the style of football is fairly significantly different. So I'm in agreement with you guys on hopefully alone is an option.
Hamburg is interesting because Hamburg really feels like where talents go to die and either never return or return very quickly. I mean, I like Hamburg. A good friend of mine is a huge fan of Hamburg. And I've been kind of watching them, but I would not really be a fan of that.
Maybe they can.
I can understand Cologne, though. Like if he was to go to Cologne, because Cologne really only went down because they had, was it like 15 first choice players get injured all at the same time for like such a long stretch. So, and for the most part, they've been, I don't know if they are first in the second division or if they're second, but wherever they are, they've been there very comfortably since the very beginning. So I think, you know, Hamburg are probably one of the teams that's going to go up and then go back down again very quickly, or, you know, finish in third from bottom, the Hamburg place. But I think Cologne could probably come back in and probably challenge for mid-table. Because they were fortunate that they kept on to players like Timo Horn and Jonas Hector, and they had Modest come back, and Simon Terode, I think, who's just far too good to be playing in the second division. So maybe, yeah, I can kind of see Cologne working out. My first choice would definitely be Leipzig, though, because if Nagelsmann's going to be playing some variation of like a three-man defense, he's going to need more central midfielders, because at the moment they've got Kevin Campbell, Demmer. There isn't a great option to choose from, and Kevin Campbell's like pushing 30, I think. Maybe he seems like he's like perennially 30 mm-hmm. years old. So yeah, having somebody like Sanchez, that's basically 30.
Yeah.
He's closer to 30 than anything else. So yeah, having somebody like Sanchez to choose from would be a huge benefit for Nagelsmann.
Yeah, and I think that it's kind of a disservice to Sanchez to think, to not that you are necessarily saying this, but to think that he wouldn't go to Leipzig and make his kind of claim that spot in the starting lineup, because I think he's definitely got the talent to do that. And unless they, you know, unless they're making more big additions over the summer, I think he's more than capable of walking in and being their first choice central midfielder, especially with a guy like Nagelsmann. And on top of that, they have a fair few number of Brazilians and Portuguese players in the squad that would make him more comfortable there as well. So obviously we're not the front office staff at Bayern Munich, and you never know if Leipzig are interested.
Yeah, we really should be.
Maybe we should we'll send them the podcast, let them have a listen, and they can go from there.
I mean, they can do the dirty work. We just telling them what to do, and they can do the busy work.
Exactly. By the way, I think Hamburg.
I can't see a problem.
I think Hamburg needs to change their slogan or whatever to the place where talent comes to die.
That would be great. Yeah.
All right. Well,
great marketing.
Y'all gonna have to entertain me for just 1 second, because I saw some Leroy Sané rumors earlier this week, and we just have to talk about them, because you know I'm here for the Leroy Sané rumors. Leroy Sané, I guess, is probably how it should be said, but the sources are admittedly questionable, and but you know, his situation at City is kind of difficult right now, and I don't think it's totally unimaginable to see him leave. Personally, I think if we're gonna spend upwards of $80 million on Nicolas Pepe, if Leroy Sané is available for 80 to 100 million, somewhere around there, we might as well go all in for him. I'm all about Leroy Sané, but what do you guys think about that? Go ahead and shoot down my happiness if you have to.
I think it's insane to. No,
I don't want to be on this podcast anymore.
I couldn't help myself. I agree. No, I do think I would rather go with Sané than Nicolas Pepe, personally. If only for the German aspect of it, I feel like that would be a big selling point in a lot of aspects. So, but I feel like Sané's been he's been good at City, whether it, I mean, in spurts And obviously he's having his own issues there, but yeah, absolutely. I dump that kind of money on him. If you're going to dump that kind of money on a guy like Nicolas Pepe, who is good. I mean, I'm not trying to diminish him at all, but I just feel like you have definitely. Am I right in saying the more proven product in Sané? I think so, but that's mine.
Maybe thought. Proven at a higher level, arguably. But
okay,
like you said, don't. I don't want to sound like I'm taking away anything away from Nicolas Pepe. I still think he'd be great. And listener, I'm obviously not totally convinced that Leroy Sané to Bayern is any sort of realistic possibility, but you know, just that sliver of a chance that it comes through, I think that'd be
all
great.
You need.
Exactly.
It's all you need.
Sebastian, you've been a bit critical of him in the past, so I'm interested to hear what you think.
Yeah, I mean, it's a deal that you would have to do if it's possible for something around 90 million. You would have to do that, I guess. I'm not so sure about his character. He went to a club like City at such a young age, instead of doing what would, from a conservative opinion, I guess, be the better way for his career. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not completely convinced, and I'm also one of the people who totally agreed with Löw not nominating him for the World Cup, because I think he hadn't shown at that point what he can do in the national team. And it's really just completely a character thing for me. I have my doubts there, but if you can get him for 90 million, you have to take that chance if it were possible, which I don't think it is. I don't see him leaving, and even if he would, I'm not sure if he would exactly be interested in going to Bayern, because, I mean, he's pretty much shown that his priorities are different, that he doesn't really care playing in Germany or anything like that. So maybe I would not think that he's interested, and I don't think his club is interested. So, really a non-issue.
Yeah, I don't think there's much stock in it. And I'll admit, I don't know too much about his character, but I do know he has a giant tattoo on his back of him celebrating a goal. It wasn't even a game winner, but it was like his first Champions League goal or something for City against some small club, and he got that tattooed all over his back. So when we're young, we all make mistakes, but
who doesn't have a tattoo of themselves on their back? Like, who amongst us doesn't have that tattoo?
I have a life-size tattoo of myself on me. Think about that one.
Just the other way around, I guess. So
yeah.
your front side on your back side, and the other way around.
Yep.
10 out of 10, would recommend.
Chaos on this podcast today.
That's all we have for this time. To keep up to date with us, you can follow us on Twitter at SuperBayernPod. You can get in touch with us there or email us at superbayernpod@gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you listen to your podcast, we're probably there. Thanks for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.